So, thank you for coming tonight. The night we memorialize and reflect on the meaning of this word that we now have called 9/11. It's the 7th anniversary. And my observation is the juice has gone out of it for quite a few people. I mean, there was a lot of energy around 9/11 several years ago, and a lot of positive energy, and a lot of sentimentalizing energy, a lot of angry energy. It was very confusing for many of us to separate out the tragedy of loss of life, and also to compare it to other losses of life that occur all the time throughout all space and time. So how do we give our heart to it and not exaggerate and make more karma? I think is a question we can ask ourselves about 9/11. So there's 9/11 then, and I suppose one thing that many groups do is we go around and we ask each person, what were you doing on 9/11? Particularly on, if you live on the East Coast, that's something that a lot of people do. Remembering that day, and remembering, in fact, there were lives, dear, dear lives, that were lost. This morning we had a very small group, and we had a memorial service for David Fontana, who was not a member of this Sangha, but it was a kind of a friend of this Sangha, and one of our priests was a very close friend of his, and his wife, and David's wife and little son. He had a 5-year-old at the time, who's now 12, Aiden, and the sister-in-law, Leah. And so they were kind of were friends of the Zendo, show up at our events. And David was stationed around the corner from where we were on Barrack Street. And he perished that day. So here's a man that was a sculptor, a fine father, a fun guy, courageous guy who just put on his hat and all that heavy clothing and went in there and didn't come out. Like another 343 firemen who did that. 343 men. They were all men. I went through all the photographs last night on the fireman's site. 343 that died that day. There's this kind of special thing about the people that go into those buildings, huh? And there were many others, of course, the police and individual heroes. And all the men and women that died that day, they were clerks, policemen, brokers, lawyers, gophers, delivery people, flight attendants, pilots, people on holiday, on traveling, some young Muslim men, intoxicated with a sense of mission and anger, fear. People from 93 countries died that day. Mainly, we call them Americans, but really, what is an American? Someone who comes here and finds their way. someone who comes here to work and to make a life. So we remember those people, we memorialize them. The Good Samaritans, and the ones who probably push people out of the way to get down the stairs. The ones who saw others as obstacles, and the ones who saw others as someone to care for. There's an old Buddhist saying, that people only wake up when there's a tragedy in their own family. Except for a few very sensitive people who wake up when there's a tragedy in their town. Except for very few very sensitive people who wake up when there's a tragedy in another town. And there were some days after 9/11 when it felt like this whole country was more sensitive, more inquisitive, that people might have awakened to their nature. I felt that, you know, all these years being disappointed with the reactions of people. And again, I really felt, oh, maybe this will change things. Maybe this will make a difference. Maybe people will see that they're connected to everyone else, that it's not them and us. And you sort of had that sense a little bit from being in this city, but also from the media at the very beginning. If you examine the media of those days, you'll see the change. I just looked at the press media because I don't really have access to archives, video archives, but you could see it in the press media, the change within a week. From questioning, exploration, to accusation. Some wonderful sense that we could have tried to heal the world. Which eventually became a kind of righteous retribution, coming out of fear and anger. The moment was lost. And even today, 7 years later, in the midst of a campaign, of a political campaign, we can see those same veins of fear and anger and hope for conciliation, reconciliation, for moving in a different direction. And it happened here in our town. And I wondered, I asked myself, how does it feel different if it happens in your town, you know? I'm talking about a couple of thousand people. How many young men and women have been killed in Iraq? How many Iraqis have been killed? Do we even know? We count the Americans, but we don't count the Iraqis. We wake up only when it happens in our family, or possibly in our town. And thus we make memorials, and we remember. We care because they were near. They were in our village. And we're right downtown, as opposed to far in Iraq, in Darfur, in Palestine, in Burma, in Afghanistan. right about right here. The young kids, you know, every few days there's a kid killed in the Bronx or uptown or in Queens by a stray bullet. Every few days, some kid walking down the street gets it. But somehow we don't even count that. We ignore the suffering of kids that are so disadvantaged that they grow up finding the only families they can find in gangs, who can't read at 16, no support, but access to guns, no access to books or computers, but access to guns. So downtrodden by history, by economic and cultural forces here. I'm not talking about Darfur now. I'm talking about New York City. They sit in the projects, in stinking rooms, eating foul food, and watching the world through a window of television. Now, I only see that once a year. I'm not a community activist. I would wish that I would be. But once a year, I do deliver food for God's Love We Deliver, Thanksgiving. And so I go into these homes. And I encourage you to take a look at God's Love We Deliver. They do wonderful things. They give food to homebound people and people that are disadvantaged in various, usually physical ways or emotional ways, spiritual ways. And that's their life for many. There's not a lot of intervention. Or we could look at the construction workers and the window washers that seem to die with great frequency in this town because of the poison of greed . Inspectors, contractors, greed, taking advantage of immigrants who can't speak the language. This is not in Afghanistan. This is on 47th Street. This is downtown. This is all around here. These are the people and situations that we don't remember, that we may not even know of, and we certainly don't give much thought to. Another reason I think we remember 9/11 is because it's in our lifetime, it's a historical event in our lifetime, in our time frame. It's not as far away as the great horrors of history, of the Holocaust, of World War I, of the Hundred Years' War, the Great Plagues, the Anshar Rebellion in 750, which is the third most deadly war that ever occurred, the Mongol conquest, the Spanish flu. Millions died in those. Millions. not to mention the colonial destruction of the non-Western world that we are heir to. Americas, Africa, Asia, the Middle East. The slave trade, the opium wars. Or perhaps we remember 9/11 because it didn't make any sense. I often wonder, what could I have done? Could I have offered some kind of therapy? Some reasoning, some explanation to those young men? How did I fail them? Not how did the American government fail them, but how did I fail them? How am I continuing to fail them? And their brothers and their sisters. I think we remember 9/11 because we do care. And we want to honor the lives that didn't get lived, the cost of our ignorance and our passivity, our responsibility slipped away. We want to connect to those who died and those who loved those who died and those who will die. So, this isn't a terribly coherent talk tonight. Because if I promised you an answer, I'd be really lying. I have no idea. What does Zen wisdom have to offer this? There is life and there is death. We, the living, are inseparably connected to those who have died. And we are naturally more connected to those who have died who live close to us in space and time. They are the ones we care for. They are the ones we can care for. And yet we must also remember that throughout all space and time, there have been people who have died and from whom we are not separate and with whom we share the experience of life itself on this earth. What we can do is live our lives with compassion and caring. We can turn ourselves around and serve others and not just ourselves. Death is always right here, and so is life. We are not dead yet, so let us live our lives with compassion and service. Let me read the last lines of Walt Whitman's Song of Myself. He's talking about his death. I depart as air. I bequeath myself to the dirt to grow from the grass that I love. If you want me again, look for me under your boot soles. You'll hardly know who I am or what I mean, but I shall be good health to you nevertheless. and filter and fiber your blood. Failing to fetch me at first, keep encouraged. Missing me one place, search another. I stop somewhere, waiting for you. I stop somewhere, waiting for you.